Whatever looks like a case that the enemy has been using against you, that case is sorted now. Before this day is over, it is evident that your captivity is torn.
God has commissioned Bishop David Oyedepo to preach the word of faith, liberating men everywhere from all oppressions of the devil. Get set for an empowerment that will enable you to rule in the midst of your enemies and subdue them under your feet. Now, Bishop David Oyedepo.
I'm sure something is definitely in stock for you this afternoon. Something you will live to remember forever. Somebody believes that, let me hear your loudest amen. Let's take our scripture from Hebrews chapter 11. There is a special place for young people in God's agenda. From Joel chapter 2 verse 28, he said, your young men shall see visions. So God has ordained to empower young men with grace to see ahead of them into his own plan. John said, I've written to you young men because you are strong. So the stage of your youth is the stage of your strength. I've written to you young men because you have overcome. So it is your age of triumph. Whatever you cannot overcome as a youth, you may have to live with it for life. I've written to you young men because you are strong and the word of God abideth in you. So it is just your age of revelation. Whatever you can't catch now may be difficult to catch any other day in your life. That makes this stage the most valuable stage of your life. The age where you must overcome what is overcoming your other peers. The age where you must find what others may not have time to find. The age where you must build strength into your system for the journey ahead. So it's a very sensitive season of your life. Can I hear you say, I'm in the most sensitive season of my life. That's why I would be in a meeting in the morning and go for business summit to be with my friend to 1 o'clock, and got back home and still had to be coming here to see you, because your future will be determined by the events of this season. This is where your future will be determined. The events of this season is what will determine the color, the beauty of your tomorrow. That's so important. There is a unique place in God's agenda for young people because of the sensitivity of that time, sensitivity of this time in their lives. I've written to you young men, 1 John chapter 3 verse 13. I've written to you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you young men because you have overcome the world. I write unto you little children because you have known the Father. I've written unto you father because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you young men because you are strong and the word of God abideth in you and you have overcome the wicked one. Amen. So it's a very sensitive season of your life that will require all of your attention in creating your tomorrow. It will require all of your attention. I'm blessed to know Jesus at the age of 15. I'm blessed to have preached my first message at the age of 16. I'm blessed to have had the grace from God to be sharing Jesus with people from that time up till now until tomorrow. I'm privileged to have eaten the word of God like my necessary food. I was in Ife years ago for a meeting, and then the light in the room was not good at the Dudua Hall. The podium was high, and I was to speak to these young people, and I quoted 68 scriptures verbatim without any access to my note. One of them met me at the end of the meeting. He said, "Sir, you have quoted 68 scriptures," because I didn't count it. And I checked them one by one, and they were exactly what you said. "Do you cram scriptures?" I said, "No, I eat them. I eat them." When I was 16, I saw in Lamentation 3:27 that it is good for a young man that he bear his yoke in his youth. I prayed under one little shrub. I said, "Oh God, everything I will need to carry when I'm old, let me carry it now. It's not good for an old man to be carrying luggage from the farm." I prayed, because that's the way I understood it. It is good for a young man that he bears his yoke. So if you don't take responsibility as a youth, you will grow to become a liability as an adult. As an old man, you'll be a liability. They'll be carrying you around. So it's very important for you to take particular note of this season in your life. It is the most sensitive season of your lifespan. If, for instance, you are a young girl and you got pregnant when you were in school, that has gone to your history. It can't be erased. You got pregnant without being married. You know, it has put an emblem of failure on your life. That careless person. I got married to my wife as a virgin. Our own time of SU is not this fanciful. You are SU, you must be really SU. It's not that you are half-half. If you mess up, you go to report yourself, not that somebody say they caught you. No. If you steal, the thing will be burning you in your hand. You go and say, "Please, I stole this thing. I stole this thing. I stole this thing." I see that grace restored back to the church. Yeah. Somebody here will take this season very serious in his life. Because I know among you are people who will change the story of the world. Yeah. There are ordinary looking people sitting down here today. This whole world will celebrate the day you were born. Yeah. So because of what lies ahead of you, there is no price too much to pay. There is no price too much to pay now. How sensitive is this season? If you are going to be an astronaut, a space explorer, they pick you between the age of 16 and 18. You are not pickable after. They don't pick people after 20. That's the rule in space exploration. So your system is molded to be accustomed to space before you are accustomed to anything else. You know why the Muslims get so many suicide bombers? It is from childhood. They start drilling them into the doctrine of when you die, you have 7 wives in heaven. And nobody has gone there before and returned. And that it's better to die than to live. And you could teach them have not died. Now, so because it was pushed into them as a youth, they could die for it. It was put into their system when their system was most fertile. So it received it and it grew and it's blossoming and bearing fruit. So he wakes up in the morning and says, "I'm going to die today." And he's sitting smiling. "I'm going to die today." It got into him in the days of his strength, but unfortunately a negative seed. Now, no matter how much I want to play football, I'm already disqualified. My system has outgrown football training. The trainers cannot take me, I will be a liability. If they hit me very bad, I will die and they will pay insurance. So, for that reason, my football career is dead forever. In the same way, I believe in God's agenda Your spiritual life is timed. If you miss one particular season, you may have missed all of it altogether. So I speak to you this morning on your journey to a land of no limits. On your journey to a land of no limits. What is it that grants or guarantees your access into a land of no limits? Let's quickly check if there is such a land anywhere. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 7 to 10. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a land of a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths, and spring that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and vines and fig trees, and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey. Let's read verse 9 together if you are there. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron and on out of this uses. That's out of this world. A land where you will eat bread without scarceness. A land where you shall not lack anything in it. Come and say, out of this world. Now, that is another world in this world. That is another world in this world. He said, the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a land. So God has a land on this earth. A land of no limits. In the same world where we are, there is another world called the world of no limits. The world of no limits. Now, there was a time in Israel or in Egypt where they were selling themselves to eat. In chapter 47 of Genesis and verse 15, money failed in the land. And the Egyptians came to Joseph, give us corn and we'll give you our land. And after some time, their food finished again. They said, we have no money except our bodies. Buy us. Now, that was one world. Then another world in the same world, verse 27. But Israel dwelt in Egypt, in the same country, in the land of Goshen, and had possessions therein, and grew and multiplied exceedingly in the midst of famine. So there are two worlds in this world. A number of us are living in one world that looks so strange. Other fellows are living on the other one that looks so different. They're going through all kinds of stress and strain in the same world. So there are two worlds in this world. And there are two kinds of children there. The children of this world and the children of the kingdom. And they live in two different kingdoms in the same kingdom. I've never prayed for food. I've never prayed for a job. If I need it, I just walk there and take it. I've never prayed for a car or confessed one. There are two worlds in the same world. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a land of brooks of waters, and of fountains that springing up out of the valleys and of the hills. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it. Ah, how do I get into that land? Does it really exist? Yes, it does. How do I get there? Salvation is your visa into that land. It translates you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his own dear son. Colossians 1:13. Salvation is your access. He has raised you up by the blood of his own son and made you to sit together with him in heavenly places. Ephesians 2:5-6, Colossians 1:13. So salvation is your asset. That gives you the visa. But sanctification is your residency. I learned a song when I was growing up like you. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, where the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we will meet at the beautiful gate. In the sweet by and by, we'll meet there. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, where the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet at the beautiful gate. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet at the beautiful gate. There's a land that is fairer than day. A few people have gained access, and I guess much fewer have succeeded in retaining or securing a residency there. Amen. I'd never offered a bribe in my life. I got saved early enough. Neither have I received any from any man in my life. I'll not do it till I die. A land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. The Father is waiting there to prepare us a dwelling place. A dwelling place, not as a visitor, not coming in and going out and then going back to them and be suffering what they suffer in Egypt. You are a Goshen citizen. You belong to Goshen, a land of no lack. While they are buying themselves up, you are buying them up and their properties. That's what God has in stock for you. That's what God has in stock for you. That's what God has in stock for you. Yeah. In Psalm 37 and verse 29, he said, the righteous shall inherit the land and possess and dwell there forever. The righteous shall inherit the land. So at salvation, you became the righteousness of God. So you inherit the land. You are translated into that land. And by righteousness, you dwell there forever. By imputed righteousness, you inherit it. By applied righteousness, you dwell there. There is no modern gospel. It's the same gospel. Be not deceived. Whoso doeth righteousness is righteous. There is the imputed righteousness at redemption. There is the applicable righteousness by sanctification. That is, it is your choice to live for God. Now, how did Joseph get to that land? You remember his story in Genesis 39. He said, how shall I do this wicked thing and sin against God? By the encounter I had with God, he belongs to a land of no lack, where he will be the breadwinner for the entire family. But by applied righteousness, he dwelt there. Amen. So his access and residency in Goshen was by sanctification. Does somebody, you follow what I'm talking about? How can I do this wicked thing and sin against God? And people are busy. They are busy playing with wicked things all day. Today, just busy playing with wicked things all days. Just making a fun of their destiny. Making a fun of their destiny. The righteous shall inherit the land. And if they commit to the doing of righteousness, they shall dwell there forever. So Joseph dwelt in a land of no lack. In Potiphar's house, he was in charge. In the prison, he was an official. He dwelt in a land of no lack. And he arrived in the palace, he became a commander of substance. He made him ruler over all his substance. He dwelt in a land of no lack. He brought his entire lineage into a land of no lack. By you, your family, your brothers, your sisters shall be pulled out of Egypt to enjoy the blessedness of a land of no lack. Now, Joseph was 17 when he refused Potiphar's wife. Erure umba mi oba to fidi aye sole o erure. He was 17. You are getting too old for these things. You're getting too old for it. We had some young boys, the Bible called them children. As for these four children, God gave them wisdom and understanding. That in all matter, when they were tested, they were 10 times better than their colleagues. They were children, but the purpose in their heart not to defy themselves. So they pulled themselves out of Egypt of lack into Goshen of abundance. And the captains became captains in the land. Because they have obtained their visa and residency into a land of no lack. That's where they were. The purpose in their heart not to defy themselves with the king's rich food. Purpose in their heart not to defy themselves with the king's rich food. The purpose in their heart not to defy themselves with the king's rich food. And so, they got their visa and residency into a land of no lack. Never forget there are two worlds in this place. The world of lack and the world of no lack. There are two kingdoms in this kingdom. The kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of this world. There are two countries here. In this same world, we have Egypt and we have Goshen. And each one determines his lot.
Why am I saying this? It is not the future of this church that depends on you. Your future depends on you. Your own future. Your own future first. Your own future first. Glory to God. How could somebody who would have been president of Nigeria tomorrow, die as a farmer? Because, I mean, a peasant farmer, I don't mean a real farmer. The one who farms yam today and cannot spend a dime until the yam grows and he takes it to market. Not the one who farms a tractor, the one who farms it whole. And God said, can you see? That's a president of Federal Republic of Kenya. Look at him. Look, see where he brought himself to. Because he sold off his birthright unknowingly. When the devil came to me, he said, I will make sure you fall by fornication. Because we had a long courtship, about 6 years. And I told my wife, who was my fiance then or something, so I said, this is what the devil said to me. Because I know when God, the devil speaks, God won't say, I will make sure you fall. God does not plan for anybody to fall. So it was the devil who spoke. And I said, Lord, I said to God, should I try it? Strike me with leprosy. I want to secure my future. I know how to get to Goshen and how to stay there. Amen. You will not have this ministry here today. Anyway, you will have it, but I won't be the one. I won't be here at all. Maybe I will be one struggling member that they are following up. If only you can see what you lose to unrighteousness, you will run. If only you can see the magnitude of losses you are incurring by careless living. You never try it. If you know what it means to steal somebody's laptop, that you just lost your destiny there, that your destiny just went off, that the blessings just converted to a curse in 1 second by a laptop which you can manufacture by yourself tomorrow. By a laptop which will have been a major IT guru in Africa. You just took somebody's old rickety laptop of less than 40,000 naira worth, and then a curse came. If you knew that can cost you a curse, will you do it? But the curse of the Lord is in the house of the thief. No matter what it is, stealing a biro like this biro that's about 2 naira. If you steal this biro, you come under a curse for life. So why? And then you lie here now, lie there and lie there. And say, he that telleth lies shall not tarry my presence. He said, he that walketh deceit shall not dwell in my house. Psalm 101 verse 7. And he that telleth lies shall not tarry in my presence. So they will cancel your residency for lying. They push you out of Goshen to Egypt to go and suffer with the other people. That's why you cannot afford to be another Esau, who for a morsel of bread sold his birthright and wept bitterly after, and he couldn't get it back. Well, today there is room for you to recover your destiny. You know, there is something about your God. He's a loving father, but he cannot forgive what we not repent of. The Bible said, if we say we have not sinned, when we have sinned, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, so our residency can be restored. Most of the calamities in marriages today is traceable to the foundation of the marriage. They procure the calamity from the foundation. I don't have prayer point for my family. There's nothing to pray about. There's nothing to pray about. Just to thank God. They incurred that and they have not repented. So their visa has been withdrawn. Their residency has been withdrawn. So for you to secure back your residency, there must be a cleansing, which will only follow a repenting. Ziash korade baradazoza. Egeleko tagarato sekereko tamalako la pradia leshaga. Rizo pleria leshang larada bayatuzeno. It takes this to assess this new country. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10, we have this very graphic picture of Abraham. By faith, verse 9, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10 together, let's read. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder. He looked for a city. No matter where he's dwelling now, he's looking for that city. By faith, he will not move out of anything that can check him out of that city, whose foundations and builder is God. Now, to get to that city, he refused to take bribe. So I will not take a latchet from you, lest you say you make Abraham rich. Salvation will provide you access, but purification is your only guarantee for residency. You can't reside in that place without a commitment to a life of purity, constantly longing to please God, not settling with evil as if it has dominated you. Enough is enough. Jesus, cleanse me. Your heart is constantly panting to please God. When you miss it, yeah, what is it now, Jesus? He said, look at his heart, is hungry and thirsty after me. I will fill him with my righteousness. When your heart is constantly beating after God and you are not carried away with the stupid thing that people are doing all over town, if you are afraid to be different, you'll never make a difference. This is the time to package your life, take your destiny in your hand, and maximize the hour. Because you are in the most sensitive season of your life. Glory to God. Glory to God. Whose foundations, that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now verse 14, talking about the men of faith. For they that say such things declare openly that they seek a country. Hallelujah. They seek what? A country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have the opportunity to have returned. So they shut their mind to this country, the old one where they used to belong. They shut their mind to it. They don't get caught up in the web of evil that goes on there. They refuse to play along with them. They simply refuse to play along with them. They that say such things, if they have been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country. How many here desire that country? How many desire that country? But now they desire a better country, that is an heavenly. An heavenly. That's an heavenly country on this earth. Come on now. There's an heavenly country on this earth. Glory to God. I told you a very humorous story last year. 1964, I was 10 years old. And then They used to sing in church. When we get to heaven, Adam and Eve suffer, other saints shall gather. And all kinds of heavenly songs. So it looked like the firemen touched the ground somewhere. Because we live on the road, on the highway. And I told my other little brother, I said, the heaven we are singing about is just there. He said, that's true. I said, let's go. Are you interested? He said, yes. So we started running. We were running physically to heaven.
Hallelujah.
So we saw some old people coming from the farm. They said, where are you going? We said, go to heaven. They said, ah, go back. So because they told us also there is a devil who normally will not let people get to heaven. We thought they are the devil. Amen. they were running to chase us back. We were running to go to heaven. Amen. Praise God. These people seek an heavenly country.
Yes, sir.
There's an heavenly country in this old, wretched world. There's an heavenly country here.
Yes, sir.
Oh!
Hallelujah.
In Hebrews, Revelation 12:12, he said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, because the devil is come down unto you having great wrath. Because he knows that he has but a short time. But rejoice ye heavens, and all ye that dwell there. So there are people dwelling in heaven. Ah!
Yes, sir.
My heavenly home, how beautiful. 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 There are people living in heaven now. Come and join us. It's a sweet life. It's a restful life. It's a colorful life. Come and join us. Hallelujah. There are people living in heavenly country here now. Come and join us. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. For in a great house there are many vessels. You can't be in this heaven without a difference. Your parents will start celebrating you from now. I mean, some of you are students. You will be a succorer of your parents. If any of your parents have been bothered about you before, their bother will now be turned into testimonies. Is somebody still there? Is somebody still there? Thank God for the heaven and the great beyond, but thank God much more for the heaven now. There is a heaven now, and there are people in there. There are many of you that are already inside there. There are those who need to come in there. There are those who have been deported, who need to return back. Quickly, therefore, if you are here, and you never had a visa to that heaven, you are not born again yet, please stand to your feet so we can pray with you, and then allow the people to operate in the sanctuary. Everyone who wants to give his own life to Jesus, salvation is your access to that heaven. Sanctification is your guarantee for residency. Everyone that wants to give his or her life to Christ, stand to your sweeter than the honey in the honeycomb is he. Jesus is real, he will never fail. I will serve him now and throughout all eternity. I will serve him now and throughout all eternity. Wonderful and marvelous is Jesus to me, sweeter than the honey in the honeycomb is he. Jesus is real, he will never fail. I will love him now and throughout all eternity. I will love him now and throughout all eternity. Everyone who has come in, just begin to ask Jesus, forgive my sins. Jesus, make me a child of God. Give me the new nature. Choir, sing that song if you. Make sure you submit your cards before you go.
Thank you, Jesus. Give the Lord a big hand for the great harvest today. How many want to dwell in this new country? Amen. Many may have been deported. You need to secure your residency back. Many are about to be deported. You need to save your head from deportation. Whatever thing you know that kingdom does not allow, that is working in your life, lift up your hands and ask God, forgive me, Jesus. Wash me clean with your forgiveness from heaven right now. All over the view centers around the world, ask God to forgive you of every evil. Whatever makes you deportable, save your head. Whatever may have gotten you deported from that kingdom, save your head by asking God for forgiveness right now. Everyone, ask God for forgiveness right now. Ask God for forgiveness right now. Redu shagarabayota. Ask God for forgiveness. Jesus, forgive me today. I didn't know I was toying with my destiny. Jesus, forgive me today. Redi sagara duzelo predia. Yeshegeto bradia le karudaze. Ese ziria le kradia le shugaba. Madayete kelo tabelete sile prodia yetane. Zazakuku kata breketeno paradizanete koria. Jesus, forgive me today. Forgive me, forgive me. Let your blood avail for me. I want to live my life for you. I want to live in this new country. I want to live in this better country whose foundations and builder is God. I know the foundation today. I take grace from you. I take grace from you. In Jesus' precious name. Very simply now, please read from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. And we'll pray that prayer and then we shut down. Sanctification is impossible without the Spirit. It's the refiner's fire that burns up the chaff in you. He said, but we are bound to give thanks always for you, brethren, beloved, of the Lord, because that he has chosen you from the beginning to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Sanctification of the Spirit, that is capital S, the Holy Spirit. Sanctification of the Spirit. So, you cannot be sanctified without the Spirit. He's the fire that burns the chaff in you and me unquenchably. Matthew 3:11. The Holy Spirit, he said, he will gather the chaff and burn them with unquenchable fire. I'd like you to pray and say, Holy Ghost fire, burn off every chaff in me. Now, what are the chaff? The lust of the eyes, the lust of flesh, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Holy Ghost fire, burn them up in me. Come on now. Everybody pray. Holy Ghost fire, burn off every chaff of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Burn them off in me today. Adesogotega. Egete grudi barada. Holy Ghost fire, burn off every chaff in me, every chaff in me, every chaff in me, burn off 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 every chaff in me. Holy Ghost fire, burn off every chaff of the lust of the eyes, of the lust of the flesh, and of the pride of life. Burn them up in me. Zechariah Yesha. Pray. In Jesus' precious name. In Malachi chapter 3 verse 1 to 5,
he said, is the messenger of the covenant. And he will come as a refiner's fire and as the fuller's soap. And he will purge the sons of Levi that they may present unto God offerings in righteousness. Then shall the offerings of Judah be acceptable unto the Lord as at the former times. So only righteous offerings are acceptable. Hallelujah. And it's the refiner's fire. His mission is to refine the sons of Levi. We are the priests of God. He's the only one who can refine us. Hear me. You'll not be found where you used to be again. You will not be found sleeping around with devils again. You will not be found taking lunch with demons again. You will not be found keeping company with thieves again. You will not be comfortable settling down with liars again. By the purifying fire of the refiner, I declare you purified. In the name of Jesus. Romans 8:13. For if ye live after the flesh, you will die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. Romans 8 and verse 5. Romans 8 verse 13. If you live after the flesh, you will die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. Whatever has become an enigma, like an insurmountable mountain to your Christian life, before you leave Shiloh, engage the Holy Spirit to destroy them finally. Therefore, I decree every sexual lust destroyed. Every spirit of covetousness destroyed. Every trace of the pride of life destroyed. There are some of you here, your parents are not any more than rats in your eyes. You look at them, shut up. You don't know you are cutting down on your lifespan. You look at your parents, you eat. To your parents? That's a curse. And they are all manifestations of the pride of life. You see, I got a master's degree. I can't do without you. Can do without you. Who are you? Your parents? Even unbelievers don't do it. Where did you get that from? Rob you of your destiny. I command them destroyed in the name of Jesus. I recommend for you to get the book, Walk in the Newness of Life. And devoid, and let it speak to you and to your spirit that you can make it. Because others have made it, you will make it too. I don't care where you might have been before this meeting. After this meeting, you have changed level already. When your sinner companion calls you, no connectivity. No what? Remove those phone numbers from your phone now. That no more. For blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor walk in the ways of sinners, nor stand in the seat of discomfort, but whose delight is in the law of his God, upon it in meditation, whatever he doeth, he shall prosper. He shall be like a leaf, a tree planted by the rivers of water. His leaves will never wither. He will bring forth his fruit in the season. I am not going with you again. Clear those numbers. Clear them. If it means buying another sim, throw that one away. And say, this is the sinner's sim. I'm buying a righteous sim. I am beginning my new life now. Can I hear your amen? Lift up your hands. Give God thanks for a new dawn. Give God thanks for a new beginning.
Bishop David Oyedepo has just placed in your hands the key to all-round victory, exploits, success, and unquestionable dominion over all life's challenges. The end has come to all your struggles in Jesus' name. Please share your testimony with us. Write Bishop David Oyedepo, 21688 Ikeja, Lagos, Nigeria. Call 774-7546, 774-7547, 774-7548. And best of all, come, hear the man of God live as you worship with us at Faith Tabernacle, Canaan Land, Kilometer 10 Idiroko Road, Otta,